KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have a mostly cloudy sky. It's 22 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today, a high of 33. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by your independent insurance agents in Greenfield. See Marcia, Joni, Lori, or Susan at the Adair County Insurance Agency on the square in Greenfield. Members of the Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department's Board of Directors Monday evening received updates on projects at the Schulberg Recreation Area and Sunnyside Park. Parks Director Seth Stasselm said, "We're moving right along with the Schulberg Rec Area projects, including a red metal roof shelter being constructed on the west side of the quarry area near the parking lot."
So with the site plan, 30 by 50 foot shelter, the pad itself will have a little bit of a skirt, so it's more like a 34 by 54 foot. So there's a little bit of a rainwater will just drip on the concrete rather than just the ground. And there'll be an accessibility path that will go right to the parking area so people can just pull right up to it.
It also leaves room for a future playground on the west side of the rec area. The board elected to have the six metal columns surrounded by a stone veneer similar to what you can see at the shelter at Sunnyside Park. They have wanted a red roof to better coordinate with the color of the roof at Sunnyside Shelter and keep things uniform throughout the park system. The shelter will be equipped with electrical outlets on the columns and LED lighting. Stasselm said they won't be able to start construction, though, until sometime in April. He said also that the east side Schulberg Rec Area playground equipment is in and being kept in storage until sometime in late May. Once it begins, the project will take 2 days to assemble under the guidance of the playground manufacturer's representative engineer. Volunteers will be needed to help assemble the pieces. The playground will feature 11 inches deep wood chips to act as a cushion if someone should fall. There will also be a small concrete pathway to help keep the fall material in place and six perforated steel-type park benches that will be sold as part of a fundraiser. Two of the benches, he said, are already sold. Persons who donate will receive a plaque on one of the benches. Stasselm also reported that work on replacing the Sunnyside Park entrance sign will probably begin in April.
"We're going to have to do footings. We have to wait till the ground thaws. So we still have time for that, but we'll probably start those conversations on what we need to do, what facade we need to put on there, stuff of that nature."
The old sign will be torn down and replaced with a powder-coated arched black wrought iron sign and brick facade pillars. Stasselm also talked about the Parks Department 10-year capital improvement plan priorities, which include development of the Schulberg Rec Area over the next couple of years as the main priority. There was also discussion on tentative plans to hold the 4th of July fireworks out of the Schulberg Rec Area, but that's only an idea at this point. One, Stasselm said, is being pushed pretty strongly by certain groups, not one being made by the Parks Board. Other entities are discussing where to hold the event, which is normally held at the Atlantic Municipal Airport.
"Yeah, I think this could just push back a little bit."
"Okay, yeah, I agree.
That's my opinion. I'm one of the players." "So
the fireworks not being out of the park."
"Fireworks, they want to put a show."
"Now what about it? I mean, to me, what I suggested when Seth sent that out, I thought it would be just fine to have it on a barge in the middle of the lake."
I think in theory it's a great idea. I'm talking logistical parking and all that business.
Yeah.
It's going to be an absolute police and logistical nightmare. Trying to get people coming from every direction and there's no place to park. And just, I think it needs a lot more conversation amongst all the groups."
That's Parks Member John Krogman. You also heard from Stuart Dusenberry and Parks Member Board Charlene Bean. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office late Monday afternoon released a report on arrests. Officials say two deputies responding Sunday night to a disturbance in Avoca arrested 30-year-old Melinda Mallory of Avoca. Mallory allegedly broke into a residence, causing heavy damage to a door and window before assaulting a 65-year-old male who resided there. The home was also occupied by a 6-year-old male and two females, ages 8 and 2. Mallory was charged with burglary in a third degree, criminal mischief in the second degree, harassment in the first degree, three counts of child endangerment without injury, assault with injury, public intoxication, and disorderly conduct. Authorities said also charges are pending against a man who crashed his vehicle just before midnight Friday at Wabash Avenue in Applewood in Pottawatomie County. The 2004 Dodge Dakota pickup driven by 45-year-old Dustin Russell Bond of Malvern was found wrecked down a steep embankment. Bond was walking away from the vehicle when he was located by law enforcement. Deputies noticed he showed signs of impairment. He also complained of pain and was transported to Jenny Edmondson Hospital to be treated and checked out. Law enforcement invoked implied consent and took a blood sample for testing. A charge of the OWI second offense is pending completion of lab results. And a traffic stop for speeding on Interstate 80 westbound just before 1 p.m. Friday resulted in the arrest of 52-year-old Christopher Morales of Las Vegas, Nevada. Morales was arrested for possession of drug paraphernalia. Finally, in area news, sheriff's deputies in Montgomery County late last night arrested a man on an OWI charge. 52-year-old Bartholomew Leo Shabbat of Red Oak was taken into custody at around 11 p.m. at the intersection of C Avenue and 130th Street. Shabbat was charged with OWI first offense. He was transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $1,000 bond. In our funeral announcements, John Barrett, age 94, of Avoca and formerly of Shelby, died Friday. Funeral services for John Barrett will be today at 10:30 at Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlem. Rosetta Judy Myers, age 89, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday. Funeral services for Judy Myers will be today at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Lyle Shaver, age 89, of Cumberland, died Friday. Funeral services for Lyle Shaver will be today at 1 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. David Genson, age 54, of Manning, died Saturday in Des Moines. Funeral services for David Genson will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Mary Lou Warrior, age 85, of Fontenelle, died Friday. Funeral services for Mary Lou Warrior will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Daniel Starr, age 57, of Panora, died Friday. A memorial service for Daniel Starr will be this Friday at 6 p.m. at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Teresa Bloom, age 87, of Walnut, died Thursday. A massive Christian burial for Teresa Bloom will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Walnut. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Dwayne Lydell, age 83, a longtime resident of the Grant and Griswold areas, died Monday in Villisca. Services for Dwayne Lydell are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Mary Welsh, age 85, of Greenfield, died Monday. Funeral services for Mary Welsh are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents. In Oakland, your independent insurance agents are Craig, Marcia, and Mary at the Hummel Agency. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.